getting involved in too long a process because I'm going to England. But no one believes it. And it wasn't, well, I got back in October, and I guess it was in March. I got orders from Winnipeg at that time that I would proceed to England on a 2-year posting with their missus. And that I had been asked for. The Colonel found I did ask for me by name, which is very nice. He promised he would. So, we went over to England. Went on the Empress of Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And we arrived in England, and I went, I got to go to the Canadian League and established in the Ennismore Gardens in London, and we got pretty well all straightened out. And then we made our way to Ainsley.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's very curious that we lived in a place called Offerton on Stonehenge Road, and you lived about 4 doors up at the hill. Yeah, and I know the place, and the people who lived there, the newer there was a fellow by the name of Hogg, and he worked for Boston Down, but we lived about 4 houses from where you actually lived. And that little bridge was still there, and we left. So we stayed at the George Hotel until we could get a place, and we eventually got this nice place called Hobbiton, and I'd started to hop the British train on the missiles at Life Hill. And I was there for 3 years and 2 months.
Yeah,
well,
very happy to be
here, both of you. Well, I asked, I went to call that colonel, who was a fellow by the name of Colonel Haslam, and asked if I could stay for another year, and he said, you could, but it'll be okay from this end. What about your end? And I said, well, I know the B-Post Ivy pretty well. He said, okay. He said, you fix it up with him. So I wrote Wally Hill, who was the captain of B-Post Ivy, and told him. And he said, it's okay here, if that end is fixed it up. So then I had to go to
both ways.
So I stayed there and expressed the desire that if it's for another year, rather than leave in, I think it would be April or May, extend it for another 2 months or so to finish their school.
Sure.
But they agreed to. So I was there for 2 years and then.
How's it going? What was the bit?
Not too bad. They didn't accept me at first. One or two of them. But after that, then I found them just wonderful. I had a good time with them.
No.
But No. I used to go quite a lot on my own, too.
Yeah.
And you just, you would just go to these crossings and talk to them, and they were very nice people. And some of them had locks on their actual property where the cross was, and I used to say, are there any fish? Oh, yes, if you want, you can fish at any time. And so you see quite a bit of that.
Yeah, okay, there you go. So you, say, this couple, you didn't have that time.
No,
we didn't have anything.
No.
So you, in effect, were, I think, one of the most knowledge, if not the most knowledge, or NCL or whatever. Were you in the same department?
No, because it was Canadians that came over to Britain to take a course with you a little bit. I don't know, I was nowhere near the most knowledge, but a lot of the ACAC people from Picton went to El Paso prior to my going, and I believe they were on the top of the product in 1910. But I had a fair knowledge of it, of the proper method, and also had a fair knowledge of the Redstone and one or two others. But the copper went out very quickly, I believe, after I came back from England. Well, we had a way to say it was nice, and we left England, I think it would be about July of 1960, I guess. Yeah, 67, maybe 1960, and came home on the Ibernia, which is a Canada. And got closer to Picton, which is Ontario, and I was the VSM of the second surface-to-surface nickel battery, which at that time didn't have any missiles. They had the 105, but they were going to get the Onyx Strong, which is a solid propellant, whereas the copper was electric propellant. And I stayed with them for about a year, maybe 2 years. And then I got a promotion to a 001, and I went to Silo as the 001 in charge of survey. I don't know why they gave me that one in survey, because I didn't know how to survey. And it was a 001 in charge.
They weren't looking for that expertise.
Yeah, I had to do all the paperwork.
Yeah,
all the
paperwork, yeah. Did you ever look at the
No. The one FSM, which is the battery that did finally get the Onyx Strong, they went overseas to Europe with the Onyx Strong, and I sort of lost touch with it from then. I don't know really what happened, basically, the corporal training was good. It would give you a general idea of how a liquid propellant missiles operate, But there was so much, so complicated, and so, for the small missile, and so much could go wrong. They're always having problems with it. As I told it was an experiment with a missile in the first instance, but I know it is improved now, but that one is, I think that's out. I don't think that's even possible anymore. Mm-hmm. That old thing.
The
battery size and major of the 2SSM battery, which was a training missile battery, but we never had any missiles. We didn't have a missile, we had the 105mm howitzers. And then the 1SSM battery, which was the other battery in Picton, they got the Onyx Strong, and they went to Europe. And then I was then posted to Silo, and eventually the 2SSM battery came to Silo. And I don't even think they had the missiles then, I can't remember. Mm-hmm.
And you were the RSM of the
service crew? The section of the crew, yeah. And then, I guess about a year I guess of that, and then I finally realized my life was ambition, and I became the head of the school.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what I really wanted to be. I've been wanting to do it all along. And came up and he said, I'm sorry, you can't have a posting for 1967. And I said, I'm sorry too, if I'm the tonight, and I just made the decision right that fair to me. I never
You didn't want to wait around in town for another year?
No, I didn't bail because one reason my two eldest children were growing up, they were teenagers, the situation in Tyler in a military camp, particularly young ladies, was not that pleasant. I wanted to get them settled where they were going to be settled for the rest of their school days anyhow.
Yeah,
and
right.
It came up, and I had a younger boy who was, I think, only in grade 4 when I retired. So, yeah, I wanted to get them settled. And I came out here on a pension of $350 a month with no job in sight or anything. We just gambled and took a picture of it. Bought a house in the BLA, of course, and here I am.
Well, I'm surprised, actually, that the pension was that little in those days.
Yes, it was.
For a man of your rank, and you've been in for
32 years, yeah.
32 years, yeah.
I retired, when the time I went on leave pending discharge, recruit at that time, I joined up on April the 1st, 1935, and I retired April the 7th, officially, 1967.
Mm-hmm.
So I did about 32 years and 7 days or something.
Huh.
So that was it.
Yeah.
That
was it. Well, I think that,
I came to Detroit, I think I got here in August. I came out as a casual clerk to Rod Hill in August. I stayed here until, I believe it would be November, when the position was no more. And then I went to the public service and I took an examination there, and I went to health and welfare as a CR1. And I stayed there for about 4 months, and a position came open at Fort Rogers for a CR2, and I got that position, and here I've been ever since.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Another 2 years to go, and I'll be, what did we figure out, 47 years in the federal government.
Well, thanks very much, Peter.
Well, I hope I've had you have fun out here.
And I'm sure you have been, because it's also a distinctive career, I think.
Yeah.
And starting where you've been, and finally receiving what you wanted to be, and I think that job was made you,
well,
a force to be dealt with
and
the tool
of our ability
at the end.
Yes, it was. You had a
William
Fisher? Yeah, okay. The snake at the school had a tremendous amount of power. He was the inside man to the chief instructor gunner, which was the colonel. And at my time, it was Colonel J.C. Stewart. And you had the inside track to him. And even if the majors started to complain about you or do things that weren't right on the ranges, you went to the colonel and you had the colonel's back. And it was a wonderful position. And I had a wonderful CIG in colonel's back. You backed me to the limit.
Well,
of course,
you're
going to
ask
us
any time.
Any time.
You have to go with anybody.
No,
else, right?
No.
And you were very few people in the room, so that's why I just
walked in, just knocking the door, just 2 minutes there, and I saw him. It was a wonderful relationship. He was excellent, and I said, say, he backed me to the room. Oh, I can remember, maybe I shouldn't say this, and one officer, and I stopped, I went out to watch some time, and they were flying at an unsafe elevation, and the safety officer had said, stop. And the IG of the OP said, well, the IG accepts responsibility, fire. And I turned the safety off and I said, no, stop. And the safety off said, well, it's cancer, it's been stopped by the snake. Put the snake on the wire. So I got on the blower and I told him, no, it's not safe. He said, I'll accept responsibility. I said, you can't do that, sir. He said, okay, I'm going down to see the CIG. And I said, I'll be there before you. And I got in my Jeep and I went right to Colonel Stewart and I told him, and I can remember Colonel.
Okay, so you got in your Jeep and then.
I got in and I met to Colonel Stewart and I said, this is what's happened. He said, you leave Captain so and so to me. And I went into my office and I heard Colonel Stewart in a rather loud voice said, Captain so and so, do you want to die young? And that was it. So I got the excellent back.
Yeah. Well, I thought you were right.
Yeah.
I'd be laughing, right? It would have been.
Oh, well. They can't fly at that elevation, and it was the sense of the time.
Who was the safety officer?
He was a sergeant, and I think his name was Patrick. And he would not have let them fly either, but I think when he went in as the IG, says IG responsible, in theory, the safety officer should say, well, okay, but.
That's right.
And as long as the signal recorded on the pad, IG accepts responsibility, you'd be all right. But if he didn't, who's to say that the IG said that?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wouldn't let him fire, and it certainly proved I was right, and the penalty would be
I heard a story that the captaincy
at one time? Yes, I was. Yes, Colonel Orton called me in just before I was going to retire, and he said, Mr. Coburn, he said, I can't get you out to BC, but I'll give you a captaincy and offer. I'll give you a captain and an offer, and I said, no, thank you, sir. Going out to BC, and I was going to retire.
So, really, you were happy in your job as an IG, but your family situation, you thought that it was time to.
Oh, yes. Time to move out of town. Now, my wife Pat was not happy with Sal. It was a terrible winter, you know, and the ice was late, and then we one thing another. And indeed, all the kids were coming back to the car. And we made the move, and I'm very glad we did.
How many other one officer passed on?
Was there
a dinner on the weekend?
At Inside Out? To the Taxi Aquarium, there'd be the RSM of the school. This is a fellow called Blake, it was myself, this was Mrs. Smith, there was the 001 survey, which was a fellow called Hughes, there was a 001 gunnery, which was a fellow called Brown, that was it.
Yeah.
And then of course there was a garrison sergeant major, there was a 001 in charge of the recruit and depot batteries, maybe about 5 or 6 foreign officers, in the artillery, there were others in the engineers, and ordnance and so on.
You were
simply
the senior NCO in the
gunnery
school.
The school of artillery, yeah. Well, I was responsible for the conduct and the instruction of all the other ranks, from the 002s to the staff sergeant and sergeant. And that was about some, let's say 50 or 60 in the afternoon.
And the
RSM
of the
school,
would have been
inside general
sort of discipline
and
for the school as a whole.
That's right, for all of we had a lot of gunner drivers there, and, you know, various people, and then he never interfered with the outside, the system and second one, as he made it.
Well, I suppose I don't know, but I think that's when you do something about the organization of the school, and what you have to do. So I think you're talking there, and if you can hear something more to say in a moment, but